Media.com and podcast audio recording going straight to iTunes, Stitcher, and whatnot. Give us a 5-star review. That helps a lot, folks. All right. And we got the homie loco, Nicole Loco. She knows a thing or two about Grammys. All right. She knows a thing or three about blackness not being monolithic. And for some reason, there's an alt-right Hotep alliance. I don't know what's going on there. All right, let's get the trigger warning up and running and get into this. The Black Podcast, WineCellarMedia.com.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show. Murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
And people just being total fucking assholes. All right, that's so my indeed. Yeah, I told you, it's an extended trigger warning. Like, I sat down with the homie, and we were like, what are all the things we talk about that like really may like trigger folks, you know, because I used to just get on the program and just be like, yo, this shit's fucked up, get ready. And it's like, that's not enough of a warning. Yeah, that doesn't give a person a fair deal. And we go ahead and get this link shared to the Facebook Live out to the folks. What's going on to you folks over there in social dissonance? I'll talk to you a little bit about a post that we made earlier today with the Yiannopoulos meme, that fucking fuckface. And then over to the folks over at Reading in the Shade with Phoenix Kalita. And, news update. Jerry Sandusky's son got busted for pedophilia as well. All right, that's coming off of my CBS News Update app. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I got that notification like while I was on break at work. Yeah, I got that. Yeah, matter of fact, we'll jump into that, and then I want to go over and see what you have to say about these Grammy Awards. Which, that shows you how well we segue on this program. All right, so Jerry Sandusky's son, Jeff, charged with sex offenses against minors. All right, so the son of Jerry Sandusky, the former Penn State football coach convicted of molesting a string of boys, was charged Monday with asking minors to send him nude photos and perform a sex act. That's from prosecutors. So Jeff Sandusky is a 41-year-old individual and was suspended from his job at a state correctional institution, so he was alone with captive people as an authority figure. That was his job. So, you know, and what we say over here at the Wine Cellar, every rapist is a serial rapist, and you make me fucking Governor William, Dictator William, we shoot him in the face. We kill him. All right, so that's going on. And I'm sure there will be more updates to that story coming on down. All right, Nicole Loco, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. All right, so the Grammys, like, I don't really see too much of what's going on. Apparently was Adele was there.
It's defined there. It's like she was there. I don't know where her voice went. Oh my goodness. She did a tribute to George Michael by singing Fast Love in a very, you know, very slow, mellow, rendition, which within itself is fine. However, she started off with a very, very, very rocky start. She began singing, you know, a half step lower than the octave played by the pianist. So she was basically singing a whole verse off key. And it wasn't like there was much to kind of distract from the fact that she wasn't. It was just her and the piano. So you can hear everything as if you were right there in the studio with her. Like, whoa, wait a day. What's going on, boo? You know, like, you do. And that was funny. What made it funny? Because, you know, I also, you know, I've played an instrument. You know, I sing. So it's just like me. I'm listening to this, you know, as a person that is, you know, that is involved in music on a level. And I'm like, you do hear the pianist in the back hitting that key, right? He's like, boom, 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 boom. And she's just like, that's the, like, that's not the key, boom, boom. Like, you need to go up a pitch, you know, a half pitch up, honey. And, you know, by the time she realized it, okay, we were already like in the next verse, and she was like, "Ooh, shit! Okay, let me start over." So she literally said, "No, I gotta start over." And the crowd's like, "Wow, we love you. What the hell? It's okay, boo boo, we love you." And you know, because she is who she is, she gets that privilege of being like, "Oh, it's okay, honey. You know what? The little engine that could. That's okay. You can start over, honey. It's like that kid that didn't make the backflip all the way in gymnastics, but, you know, you clap him because he's trying. Like, oh, go ahead, Jeffrey. It's okay. Come on. You can talk. That's all right." Yeah, she pulled one of them. And then, you know, okay, she kind of just, you know, chugged right along and, you know, did a better rendition after that FUBAR, but it was just interesting because if another singer did something like that, I doubt that there would be as much sympathy. Like if Beyonce did that, or if, oh my goodness, well, I don't think she would do that because Beyonce, I know how she operates. She would not be a pitch off. So she wouldn't do that, no way. But just it'd be hypothetical that she would. They'd be like, man, Beyonce butchered that tribute. George Michael would be furious. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Oh, no. And it's funny because Adele walked off with so many awards last night, including Album of the Year over Beyonce's Lemonade. So maybe she fucked up because she knew she was going to win that night. She was like, oh, fuck it. I'm going to win anyway. Okay. Mm-hmm. Fast up. I don't care if I'm all key. Like, it's like I got the top award. Eat that.
What the hell?
Yesterday was interesting.
Now there's some years ago, like my biological sister, right? She would pop in some CD. I wouldn't pay too close attention. I'm getting ready to mow the lawn or whatever, and I'd hear it, and I'd be like, "You listening to that damn new hippie music again?" And apparently, it was some young person named Bruno Mars. And
oh, wow.
What was going on with this Bruno Mars at this program?
Mm-hmm. Bruno Mars, very interesting. And it's interesting enough because I myself was never a huge Bruno Mars fan initially. As he started to get bigger and bigger, you know, of course, just from social media and just by, you know, just media in general, you get to hear more and more about him and what he does. I'm like, okay, let me at least check out one of these little albums, because, I mean, I'm going to put it out there, okay? The mid-2000s, okay, I was like, ooh, the torrenter, like, you know, I'm not going to pay for no music I don't like. I like the idea of testing the product before I say, okay, I want to buy a whole album. I was one of them kids, okay? So so I would say between 2005, maybe to like 2012, I was one of them people. Like, yeah, I'm not buying that one damn album until I sample that shit first, okay? I remember, I forget the name of this particular album. I think it's the second album that I actually sampled. and approaching it, because he does a good job of making his music an actual craft, as opposed to it being just a simple product of his contract, like most artists do. They just, you know how some artists will just be like, you know what, I got two more albums with your ass anyway. Here's an album, get out of my face so I can be up, be a free agent, get about this bitch. But Bruno Mars' album that I listened to really won me over, because he truly does care about the music that he puts out. And he is more like a curator when you really listen to him. And yet he does have like a pop element, but that's okay, because there's still some form of integrity that's still maintained with the mainstream music that he does. So it's like, oh, he's a little too pop for me. I thought that at first when I really actually gave him a shot, he's pretty decent. And that Prince tribute that he did, okay, those shoes are very hard to fill already, but I feel that he was one of the better artists to pay tribute to the Purple King last night. Because Prince has had a train wreck of tribute since he's passed. Can I get an amen? I mean, come on. Madonna, come on now.
Oh. You see, I gotta tell you, this is the most pop culture that has ever been on this program in over 450 episodes. I know the regular listeners are like, somebody better say fuck the system right now. And yes, fuck the system, regular listeners.
I thought you were going to say 450 years. I'm like, now, okay, now, damn.
450 years. Oh, my great, 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 great grandmama started on the plantation podcasting. She had the iPhone XVI Roman numeral. Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right, I'm like, going.
Girl, did you hear that last? Did you hear that last Negro spiritual girl? Ooh!
I got the MP3. I got the YouTube video.
Okay, I got that. I got the song on Carrier Pigeon. Okay, like,
I'm essentially just using your timeline as my show notes right now, and so. What's going on with Swiss Beatz? Okay, before anything else, is Swiss Beatz still making beats? Is he still producing? What is he doing now?
I have no clue, other than just being Mr. Alicia Keys. I have no idea what that man is doing. Okay. That particular post that I made was because Alicia Keys was performing with, oh goodness, I forget the name of the artist. The other artists perform really well, but it's just Alicia Keys, this, you know, it's obvious she doesn't sound the same since, you know, songs in A minor days, but she just sounded especially tired yesterday. And I was just like, whoa, wait, hold on. Okay, did someone pull a Little Mermaid on her? Like, the earth was still her voice? What's up, B? Like, what happened? You know. And people are like, Alicia Keys sang No Way, so whatever. I'm like, okay, now look, listen. It ain't like Alicia Keys is tone deaf or anything like that. She just doesn't have the vocal range as other singers do. And which is funny, because that was another conversation I had earlier about how we tend to kind of be a little critical of our own talent, because talent can be so many different things on various scales. Like, you would never hear people, well, it's a very unpopular opinion to criticize Sade for her lack of, I don't know, vocal musical jazz. Okay, it clearly she is not known for vibrato or, you know, doing runs like Patti LaBelle, but you would not dare open your lips and be like, man, Sade can't sing. So I just find it interesting that we are selective in who we choose not to criticize, but nowadays it's like, oh, she can't sing. She can't sing like this. She can't sing like that. When it's like, hey, yo, look. Black doesn't have to sound the same all the time.
Oh.
It can be as very rudimentary as, you know, but soulful as Sade, and it can be as intricate as Patti LaBelle. You know, it's just, we kind of, man, we be just, we just some haters. That's all I got to think. But that was Alicia Keys, though. Alicia Keys just sounded like she was just tired. And I was like, yo, what happened? Like, I haven't really, and I'm like you, like, I only recently got back into watching award ceremonies, like, maybe just only a couple of years ago that I kind of be like, you know what, let me just, you know, get back into the world, see what's going on, you know. I mean, I was just watching anime and reading manga, that was it. I'm like, man, I don't care about what's going on TV, I ain't got Comcast, no way. But recently I started watching, and I'm like, okay, you know. I just, the only reason I watch award ceremonies now, not only because of just being mindful of the creative talent that's out there in our various cultural groups, but I just like to see non-white people up there, white people in their own shit. Like, I'm like, okay, I want to see white people get their ass beat. Like, okay. It's like Jesse Owens, okay? I'm like, uh-huh, yeah, whoop your ass in your own motherfucking country. Man, that's the fuck you get. Outrun them. So, but anyway.
Indeed. Nicole Waddington, WineCellarMedia.com. I'm going to go into our first little short break. LGBT news update, big gay news from Lavender Media. All right, very short compilation. We'll get to that, and then we will get right back on the other side with some Alex Jones nonsense, a couple of headlines from the WineCellarMedia.com news page, and then Alt-Right Hotep Alliance. Alt-Right Hotep Alliance. What the fuck is going on there? We're going to figure it out. All right, let's see what's going on with Lavender Media.
It's now time for Big Gay News brought to you by Lavender Media. This is Andy Lean in Minneapolis, and here are your headlines for Monday, February 13th, 2017. First up, big gay news from Venezuela. Police held down and beat trans professor, punched his daughter. Gay Star News reports that police jumped a Venezuelan trans man outside their police station and beat them while shouting trans abuse. According to the Asociación Civil Venezuela Igualitaria, the country's leading GLBTI equality group, Sam Cejas and his 23-year-old daughter were attacked by a group of police officers at the police station in the town of Calicanto when they went to file a complaint about a domestic incident in their home. Cejas's official legal documents still carry his former name and gender, which apparently is what set off the officials who assaulted the pair on the 31st of January. A public complaint has been filed by the ACVI on behalf of Cejas, quoting the right of an individual to be able to live in peace without being discriminated against based upon their sexual orientation as outlined in the Constitution of Venezuela. Next up, Virginia Senate passes bill to protect religious opponents of gay marriage. The Richmond Times-Dispatch reports that Senate Republicans on Tuesday passed a bill aimed at protecting religious institutions that oppose gay marriage. Governor Terry McAuliffe has already said that he will veto the legislation when it reaches his desk, as he did last year. The senator who sponsored the bill said that it was necessary in order to protect religious organizations from being sued or incurring penalties due to their beliefs, but could not provide any incidents or statistics of such actions when questioned about it. Next up, man pleads guilty to luring gay man to woods for sex and then kicking him to death. GayStar News reports that a man has officially pleaded guilty after luring a gay man to the woods for sex and then kicking him with steel-toed boots until he died. Kelly Schneider, 23, pleaded guilty to the federal hate crime in hopes that he will receive the lighter sentence of 28 years in prison, rather than life for the murder of 49-year-old Stephen Nelson. Schneider confessed to luring Nelson into meeting him for sex, but had already planned to rob him, and when Nelson arrived to the agreed meeting point, Schneider beat him, stripped him, stole his car, and left him abandoned in 30-degree weather. Nelson managed to make his way to a house almost a half mile away, but later died in a hospital from cardiac arrest. For our final story, gay student kicked out of Durban College. AllAfrica.com reports that a 20-year-old student has been expelled from Coastal College Numlazi because he's gay. Beka Kanyile reported being mocked and humiliated by his teacher for braiding his hair and wearing makeup, and said that her taunts about his sexuality caused other students to begin harassing and laughing at him in the classroom, as well as in the student common areas of the institution. Kanyile went home after the teacher told him to leave her class, but later reported the matter to his guardian, as well as the authorities at the school. Equal Education Deputy Secretary said that the matter will be investigated because the teacher's behavior is contrary to the Constitution and that no school in South Africa is allowed to discriminate against a student because of sexuality. The student has a right to take the matter as far as the Human Rights Commission. Every student has the right to education, regardless of sexuality. That's it for today. Thanks to Linda Raines for compiling the stories. I'm Andy Lean in Minneapolis. Join us and tweet your take on today's stories on Twitter at the handle Big Gay News.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me. This show is so black that Father Teresa makes me get a tan before I go on the show. Negroes doing Negro stuff.
Politics is weird and creepy, and now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
All right, politics is weird and creepy, and yeah, see, like that, that's why we gotta have that extended trigger warning, like just that update from the big gay news clip, like Jesus Christ, lured him into the woods and kicked him to death and left him in the snow. What the fuck, man? Yeah, man. Yeah, there's folks that are further marginalized than me that face some harsh-ass shit. All right, so before we started the program, we were just riffing, and I was showing off a new audio clip that I got in my soundboard, all right? Because folks that listen to the program know, like, I analyze Alex Jones to get the stuff that websites like Right Wing Watch won't show you, because they're looking for stuff that just promotes Democrats and makes you laugh. And yeah, so I go for the serious, but then sometimes, you know what? Alex Jones is saying something that is hilarious. All right, here's a 54-second clip that leads up to some sort of Freudian slip of a testicular nature. All right, let's go. Alex Jones talking about Donald Trump.
I'm sitting here talking to my crew. We think about how iTunes has blocked us having our own podcast, its video. They won't accept our videos on there. We've gone through the process for years. They just kicked Breitbart off. That was in the news. And it's just, we just take it. Oh, you just kick us off because they will dominate it. We'll be.
Now, these are just lies he makes up. He is not kicked off of iTunes. He's not putting in the right video format so they can't process his videos. Alex Jones has about 3 podcast feeds. And his main one is in iTunes. I listen to it every day. You can just ask my fiance. She will angrily tell you. All right, let's see.
Number one. Just like we'll dominate everything else we do because we know what we're talking about. And we'll defeat the globalists. Just like Trump's dominating on every front. And they want.
Now, he says he's dominating, but the Young Turks are actually larger than Alex Jones. Here we go.
To censor him and shut him down and not let you hear what he really has to say or does. So later, I'm going to play his weekly address, and we're going to play his speeches here. We're going to focus on it because, you know what? I've looked at what he's doing, and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, said, you judge a tree by its fruits. He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
All right? That's a fact-based fact. All right? Donald Trump has the biggest, juiciest fruits that Alex Jones has ever seen. And that's info from the InfoWar.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.
And that is now in my soundboard. And I think when I open up Donald Trump stories, I will open them up with that audio.
Oh, my God.
Right now. Yeah. Now, going back to using your timeline for my show notes, because that's how hard I'm working this evening. Oh, man. Hoteps, we love them, right? Mm-hmm. Nicole's a big fan of Hoteps. You've been to a lot of Umar speeches. Donated to the school for boys.
It's funny because people say that the Hotep is a new thing when it's really not. They've been with us for as long as we can remember. It's just they just weren't designated a name. You know, but we've always had that association with that one guy or gal at the table, you know, at the barbecue who talks about, you know, how the black man should be the ruler of the earth and, you know, all this, all that, you know, you've got red, green, and black on, which inherently within itself isn't a bad thing, but I don't blame the internet, because the internet is merely a tool. It's just that now we are just exposed to it in more volume, as opposed to just having that one person at the dinner table. Now we have that times, maybe 10, 15, 20, you know, based on how many friends we interact with. So now we're just seeing it on a massive scale amongst larger groups of people. So it's like, I don't feel that it's that anything is getting worse or better. It's just, we just have a wider scope of it. So, HOTEPs, I don't understand. Well, I kind of do understand, because it just reminds me of that episode of Black Dynamite where the Black Panthers and the KKK kind of like teamed up because they didn't want this interracial porn movie coming out. So I get it. Pretty much, they both work to stir up what they feel is, a means to make sure that integration or ascension of any kind doesn't happen. So I am not surprised that there are these so-called black supremacists or people that care about the interests of black people, and yet they are in talks with people who are on the opposite end of that. So I get it. I get it. It fits their agenda, because, of course, you have people that don't always believe their own bullshit. It's just all about the money, you know, what is the next big thing, and whatever. You know, it's just our duty that we identify these movements and we make sure that we are exposing them but not normalizing them. And that is the problem that a lot of pundits and other agents of big media tend to do now, because they simply care about the audience that members of these particular movements bring, like with Tommy Lahren. Okay, she was on Bill Maher, you know, and even before then she was on the Daily Show with Trevor Noah. So it's just like, okay, clearly she brings in ratings. That's the only reason why she's there. It's not because they want to actually dismantle what she's saying. It's just all about Ching Jing, you know. So
yeah.
As far as these HOTEPs go, with aligning with the alt right, I am not surprised, because they're basically just miscreants anyway. So yeah. I'm birds of a feather.
And considering like who the alt right is and who they're with, this goes back to one of the homies I was talking with. This was like almost 3 years ago, and I was like, man, wouldn't it be some wild shit if HOTEPs linked up with libertarians? And you know what? The alt-right, they do cross up with libertarians a great deal. So, like, my little ha-ha what if just became a post on a website, hilarious already, hotepnation.com. And just pointing back before I go into this article, I don't know what the hell this is. This is just a post. But, how you said, they've always been with us, and it's like, yes, right? Go back and, how old are you?
Say it again.
Oh, how old are you?
I'm 30, what am I?
I forget, 31, too.
32, yeah.
Word. All right, so yes, yeah, so you're only 1 year younger than me, so you can remember back, like, look at old Nas album covers, listen to some of those old Wu-Tang lyrics, and Busta Rhymes, too. A lot of those, like, New York guys in the early and mid-90s, they had a little HOTEP in their system, you know, look at,
I believe it.
Yeah, and, like, everybody who tunes into any black media knows about that clip from the movie CB4 with the, I'm black, y'all, blacker than black. That was... Yeah, and that was based on the rapper MC Ren and how he changed from gangsta to like to going hotepy, you know. So yeah, that's always been there. But like you said, like we have a sort of general name for them, and so here we go, hotepnation.com. And this was posted by check out. So it's dated for February 8th, 2017, and it was posted by Ali Shakur, and you know his name is actually like fucking Winthorpe Cobble Brown, you know, but Ali Shakur, all right. Now, so he posted, right. And then of course, like, so there's the text, but then like, there's something on a class level of domination in the picture that he posted for this web post. And it's a black hand and a white hand clasping assumed cisgender men. And the white man's hand is hairy, not surprising, but it's clean, and you see a wedding ring on it. The black man's hand is dirty as fuck. There's a scar on the thumb, and under the thumbnail, the thumb fingernail is also dirty. So
I think I've seen this clip.
There's like a, so I'm just noticing like the intersection of classism and racism in that, where it's like you're linking up with somebody that financially dominates you systemically. Right. Ali Shakur said, over the past few months on Twitter, people have noticed that quite a few hoteps and I have become quite friendly with white nationalists, alt-right. People don't understand it, so allow me to take this time to explain. Firstly, both sides represent the alpha traits of their representative races. Okay, stop, pause, hold up right there. I have not, and I've seen pictures and video clips of these cats that call themselves, you know, the alt-right, the new socialists, and I don't see a dat-gum thing alpha. These are, like, they're masculine presenting in general, but they ain't alpha. Richard Spencer ain't no damn alpha. Like, that's why his face got bruised by getting hit with that soft-ass punch. Shit. All right, and he continues saying, Hoteps represent that for blacks, and the alt-right represents it for whites. The left is quite feminine in their approach, whereas they like to cry, complain, and protest, but never actually want to do anything for themselves. Now, he says that the left, and I understand by the left, he is, right, very broad brushing. He's basically saying anything from a moderate Democrat all the way to Antifa, and I don't think Antifa likes to sit around and cry. Hell, the feminist homies, they didn't sit around and cry. They got up and marched on that ass. Like, what are they talking about don't do for themselves? Like, who's this George Soros? Is he not doing for himself? So that, he's basically kicking off right-wing talking points. Like, can you smell the Republican in this guy?
I find it very interesting that somehow the aligning with people who this, oh my goodness, Hotep is kind of too nice of a word to even just label this dude, but I get a little tired. I mean, I can get I myself am critical of what encompasses white liberal culture, because people forget that that the left and the right are basically two levels of the same spectrum here. You have, you know, it's like Coke and Coke Light. It's just, you know, one's without the sugar, one's with the sugar. So I find it interesting that he feels that somehow there is better traction with a person that can,
without the sugar,
I don't know, who will gladly stab you in the front versus stabbing you in the back, whereas both are out to kill you anyway. So, I mean, it just sounds like he has more, it's more about admiration of separatism from, you know, from white people than actually anything tactical at all, and I doubt he's really doing anything, you know, than the average person. Like, pretty much these people complaining about what is going on with neoliberalism and actually sympathizing with the alt-right, they're just as lazy and, you know, passive as these people that they call themselves aligning themselves with, because of the alt-right are, if not just as non-aggressive, you know, and lazy themselves. So I, this dude gets no, he disgusts me.
And shout out to the homie Shauna, Shauna Loco posted up commenting in the chat space on the Facebooks. Shauna Loco said, "Ain't no tep like a hotep," and she said, "Flashback to Israelites yelling at me in Times Square." And Shauna Loco, if everything goes right according to plan, she will be on the program this coming Friday. And so we'll be able to kick some free thought conversation and look at a little bit of news and comment. All right, let's see. So Ali Shakur continues. So he and this is a long piece. We're not going to go through the whole thing. Like, I'll do one more portion of this. And he has foreign interest. Hotep alt-right are sick and tired of American people being pushed to the back in favor of foreign interest. The left is a hypocritical bunch. On one hand, they want to complain about Trump's so-called Muslim ban, but on the other hand, they were quiet as a mouse when America was bombing and killing innocent people in these same Muslim countries. Now that right there is false. Because again, like, you have to separate the left from the Democrats. The Democrats are not the left, because the political process and this whole glad handing and reaching across the aisle has gone so far right that Democrats are just Republicans with gay friends. Like, yeah, the actual real left. Oh, we were completely against all that shit. But then you know what happened? A lot of these Obamacrats, they're like, don't you say nothing about no Obama. That does my black president. Yeah, but he's signing off on these fucking bombings. And, you know, that Guantanamo never got closed. Like, there wasn't even a hard push for it. You know, so yeah, the actual left was highly against it. You know, just stop calling Democrats the left. All right, they're just, again, man, they're just Republicans that are okay with abortion. And he continues a little bit more, just a little more. The left is complaining about a wall and not wanting to use taxpayer dollars to build it. But where was the left when America was using taxpayer dollars for our exuberant defense budget? Nowhere. That's where. And again, check the archives, right? Like, you could check, like, podcasts are very old. Like, you can find podcasts from, like, 2005, and you can see people Jack Clark on the Blast the Right program. He was doing podcasts way back then, and you can hear him talking about it. You can go back, if you could find clips from Air America before Rachel Maddow sold out to MSNBC, you could see her talking about it. Sam Cedar, the comedian Mark Maron, he used to do radio. He was on it. So again, the actual left was against all that stuff. All right.
What's interesting is that we always say the left, but it's always the left of what, you know?
Yeah.
It's interesting that we only think in left in terms of particular issues, but never really go full spectrum at what oppression really is, you know? And that's the thing that I really find interesting about hotepery and the whole movement of hotepism, because their only interest lies with patriarchy and you know, and the identity of black males and their privilege. You know, it doesn't really delve deep when it comes to the left, when it comes to environmental protection, when it comes to the LGBT community, when it comes to misogyny, when it comes to so many other areas that they clearly don't have much to go on aside from just their opposition from it. So it's just like, I'm like, what left are they talking about? You know, like what left or like what are they measuring themselves against? Because just they're more or less the same of the same people that they call themselves criticizing. So it's not just in the, like you said, the political process, but it's just ideally you know, idealistically, if you really go down the damn board, you know, these guys are like, ugh, they're terrible. You know, but, you know, cry me a river about where were these blanky blank blank, but where are you when black women and black trans women are being killed and assaulted? Where are you when big oil companies come and drill, you know, into our soil, you know, endangering wildlife and our very, you know, livelihood, you know, being on this planet? Like, where are they on other issues? You know, it's like they talk a lot of big shit when they themselves are just as stagnant as the very thing they call themselves preaching against.
Yes. So, yeah. And
they can shut the fuck up.
they definitely can, and they can and drop the masculine performance. I think you know, and I've been thinking about this for a few months, and I've actually never said it before, and I'm just kind of riffing it off the top of the head for the first time on this podcast. These are guys, they're, you know, cis hetero men, and they're caught up in a masculine performance and a masculine fantasy. Because of, like, their dehumanization and, some things that actually did and do happen to black men. Like, the black man was just raped by the police in France and, you know, Eric Garner was raped by police and, you know, they think back to, like, lynching and castration, you know, and then they get it in their heads that their manhood, their, which I would really just call that natural masculinity, which is not nearly as toxic as performed masculinity, is that's been denied. And so they try to get that back and go too far to where, like, look at the images, like how Hoteps want to see themselves. Like, whenever they make an illustration, it's like a, you know, a 6'6" super muscular man, you know, that's like, and always taller than the woman he's with, and always with a woman, because you ain't a man if you ain't with a woman. You know, and then it's like kings, which, I mean, and king, just that idea, there's a cognitive dissonance to these guys, too, with that, because a king represents a hierarchy, so how the hell are we all kings? Yeah. Like, you can't have a whole bunch of people that are all at the top of a hierarchy, and it still be a hierarchy. As a, yeah, like, these guys gotta let that stuff go and find your natural masculinity, and that's like, so, like, anybody out there that is raising, well, what may be a cis boy, you never know, might be trans, you never know. But like, if you understand yourself to have a boy child that you're raising, and their wrist is loose, right? Their wrist is limp. Don't try to make them tighten up their wrists. If they play video games and they want to play with, you know, like Mortal Kombat, and they want to use Sonya Blade instead of Scorpion, then let them use Sonya Blade. Or then, like, back to my example, when I was a kid, when we walked out of the movie theater from watching Batman and everybody was getting their accessories at the accessory stand, I got the Catwoman t-shirt because I thought Catwoman was the shit. Like, I was a fan of Catwoman as a little boy. So, like, let the masculinity and the femininity be natural, you know, and then you get a less toxic adult trying to perform masculinity. You know, like, I'm, you know, that's why, you know, that's why I made that post that, they told my mother, you can't raise a boy like that. And she persisted.
Right. It's so funny because I find it interesting that we in our own communities really don't know what it is that we think we know, that we have practically had, constructs beaten into us without actually really examining them. Like, we have people out here, we have men out here thinking that they know what masculinity is when they really just don't know. And their fear of really delving into what it truly could be for them, they just act with their fists, and it turns into a very dangerous situation for women, but also femmes, non-gender conforming people, boys. I mean, everyone. It's where it basically has a toxic impact on everyone, including themselves. It's where, because I see it all the time. I see I see men, you know, having this really, really deep tension amongst themselves due to the fact that they are living an ideal that they know nothing about. They just know that this is what it's supposed to look like, but they really just don't know what it is supposed to be for themselves. So, and because of that, everyone else is left with the consequence of this. So, and Hotep is, again, it's just another avenue where that toxic idea just festers, and it just right.
Yeah.
Yuck.
Damn. All right. I gotta tell you what, and you know what? I will, I'm gonna add the Mumia Abu-Jamal in post, like, after we're done, recording this. And, and I guess, yeah, cause I mean, like, I think we hit them all. Like, we hit the topics. And then I gotta tell you, I'm not trying to gas you up, but I hear you talking. You got a strong voice. So, like, do you have, like, handheld technology that would let you do Facebook Live?
Well, I used to. I know I have been interested in doing, of course, more, because I'm a videographer, so I, you know, I am expanding my audio capabilities when it comes to interacting with my computer equipment. So I am looking for an actual, you know, mic. At one point I had a webcam, but by me not using it much, I just got rid of it. But I do plan to explore those features again pretty soon, since I am working on a pet project that's kind of Huffington Poe-esque, where I myself am creating a platform for people to learn, discuss, connect, and do different things that help people exchange knowledge and become aware of the world that's around them, but just without the through the lens of ourselves, not a John Stewart, not a Tim Wise, not a Rachel Maddow, not through the white lens, you know. And also too, because this is also opportunity for ourselves to unpack a lot of what we have been instilled with when it comes to how we interact with other communities of color that are non-black. So it's where we haven't had much discussions regarding these relationships, simply due to the fact that our own unique struggles have kept us away from that round table. You know, there were civil rights, and there were various other revolutions going on in each different group that we really haven't, you know, come back and hold up like, okay, now that we done did this, we need to have a talk. So that's what I've been focusing on for the last couple of weeks, which is interesting that you hit me up, because I was really hoping to kind of pull you to the side and you know, with your help be a part of this particular movement. And I just was like, well, because I have been eyeing your post for a long time. Like, he has a very strong written word presence. I'm like, I wonder if he wouldn't mind writing or doing, you know, and you already do podcasts. I was like, well, it's kind of interesting how the universe just kind of just weeds through and kind of like connects you here. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I've been getting that all week. Like, I've been getting people who are in the realm of just exchanging information, you know, specialists, pundits, you know, people just wanting to share and expose what it is that they feel is important for people like us to share with the rest of the world. So it's like, Like, what is really going on in the air right now? Like, maybe that's just what, we need right now. I mean, you see how Trump is very antagonistic towards, you know, the free press, you know, press that he doesn't like. So, it's like, looking at Joseph Goebbels or something. Like, what is this? Is this the 40s? Is this like Nazi Germany? What's going on?
Yeah, this is, and I mean, really, like, I'm comfortable with using the word, like, he is a dictator, but more so systemically, like, the way this system of what they call checks and balances and branches of government are set up, the fact that a supermajority is possible, well, that is a dictatorship. Like, you got both houses, you got 103 judge seats to fill, like, you're veto-proof. That is a dictator.
yeah, exactly. And that's why this is a very dangerous administration, because there is nothing to counteract anything. You know, it's not like where it's 2001 or 2003. It's not like it's 1991. None of that. It's where practically he has his touch in all three realms of government, you know, judicial, executive, and legislative. So it's just sad. So it's just, now it's just like just a reign of terror, and we're just, all we can do is just resist and hope that we flex our muscles like the aggressive right has. It's where we can't get comfortable with, you know, just because we feel that we are the moralistically superior, that somehow that automatically gives us this divine, like somehow we're owed this progression of, you know, of energy down the line. Like, oh, if this, you know what I mean? Like, when you watch cartoons and you clearly are introduced with who's the villain, who's the hero, and because the protagonist is the protagonist, that they're automatically going to win the battle despite whatever is going on with what the villain is doing. I think that's where we got a little too comfy, because just because we are, we consider ourselves on higher moral ground, that, oh, well, we're the good guys, and good guys always win. And yet here we are, as if being good within itself is just that encompasses the work. Like, no, it doesn't. Like, you have to be as aggressive as any form of evil is. Like, that's just, like, I think people get a little too caught up in the fantasy of how good is presented through pop culture, you know, through media, through our comic books, through our cartoons, through our movies, that just being good, you know, that's already winning the war. No, like, we have to always be steadfast and be ready at the front line and always plan, prepare, get ready, you know, get the troops lined up, because that's what is happening on the opposite end. That, like, day and night, they are planning. Day and night.
Yeah.
They don't sleep. We do, because we're comfortable in the fact that, you know, I don't know if religion has a hand in this, thinking that, oh, well, you know, because we are good Christians, or, you know, because we believe in the high power, that's just, you know, we gonna win the day because what we do it. Now I'm just being funny, but
it's like,
he won't do it. We have to.
It's the smug, you know, liberal thing.
We have to do it.
Like, it really is the smug liberal deal, because it's like, So many said how we go to bed. The smug liberal goes to bed after watching Bill Maher on HBO and Jon Stewart on Comedy Central, where their whole narrative is, look at them, they're ignorant and we're smart. We sit down and have debates. We have intelligent debates. Yeah, they have guns. All right, you have debates. Yeah. They have guns. All right, the smug liberal thing, it's not cute. It's like when people are like going to sit down and let's have a debate on whether or not we should punch Nazis. Dude, they're Nazis. They've already debated among themselves on if they should genocide you, but you want to talk about if you want to punch them while they're already out in the street putting in work. Like, are you joking me? Like, a mosque burns down, and then you want to debate whether or not you should punch a guy. What?
Yes, it's where we get comfortable in our own so-called intellectualism. You know, it's like watching, it's like watching Richard Dawkins or Christopher Hitchens. And mind you, I used to watch them faithfully because I'm like, yeah, you know, because I'm all about evolutionary theory and things like that. But it's just, you know, when you preach to the choir, you're really missing out on, you know, opportunities of how to really actually meet your aggression on the ground floor, because you're too busy making each other feel comfortable. And not to say that there's not a time for that, or that that's not effective, but it just seems like that's all we focus on. We focus on how we cater to our own ego because of how we feel that we are morally superior, you know, to our opposition, but we don't really actually strategize and actually formulate the way that they do. You know, it's just like, I give it to the other side because while we're up here calling them morons and deplorables and this like that, they're actually out there on the ground, you know, climbing the wall and doing all the stuff that you see, you know, in a typical war setting where they're crawling in the dirt and, you know, like digging tunnels and doing all of that shit that a fucking advanced army would do, while meanwhile we on the left, you know, and left encompasses so much. So it's just like we're sitting in our fortress, just like, ooh, doo 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 doo, you know.
Yeah.
They'll never catch us. We are impenetrable. Like, this is Helm's Deep. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is Lord of the Rings, the two towers. You know, like, where the hell are we straight? We could. Nope. Mm-mm.
And like,
you know what happened with Helm's Deep, right? So it's just like, well, they made it in.
And it's like emotional motivation, right? We think that we're right and good because we have facts and reality and empirical evidence on our side. But so what's all that motivates us to do is, again, go debate and argue. What's their emotional motivation? They think that you are a sinner that is going to bring us all to hell, and I'm going to share in God's punishment with you, and you're terrible, and you're a terrorist. Like, they have much more motivating ideas, even though they're wrong and there's no facts behind them. They have something in their head that makes them get up and get hella active.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Because that we have all of the advances of, because we take advantages of the fruit of societal labor, like science and things like that, that because we revel in that, we get comfortable in that. Like, science will prove that later. Like, okay, but how are we really actively engaging our enemies? You know, how are we actually, how are we actually participating in a war? You know, because I feel that we tend to want to avoid actually having a war, that we just do all these things that are just really passive, when it's like, the war is brought to us, so now we can't disengage. Like, there is no option to really say, oh, well, that's not us. This, we can't apply that saying of Michelle Obama, oh, when they go low, we go high. It's like, no. For me, as far as I'm concerned, when they go low, I go lower. Okay?
Yeah.
This is like, no, it's because there is no other way to really meet our enemy. Okay? So, it's just where we need to stop being less comfortable and engage. And engage, and being engaged doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be positive, because I can engage an enemy. You know, people think of engage in only just the terms where there's always a positive interaction, where it's like, no. People engage countries all the time. They blow shit up when they engage. So it's just like, well, when I see a Nazi, I'm going to blow that shit up.
Yes.
That's
see?
How I'm going.
That's right. And
you know, I've punched a Nazi before. So it's just like, this punching Nazi shit ain't nothing new to me. So it's like, shit, I will find that dude and punch him again just for the hell of it. Like,
what did I
do that last year? Let me punch me in.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah. See, and I said we were going to close out before, but you're too fun to listen to. Like, I can't wait to listen to this archive after I mix it down. And so I guess in closing, let's not be reactionary. Let's be proactive. Instead of when they go low, we go lower or higher. Don't give them a chance to go low and just punch that Nazi before they do anything. Easy.
There you go.
Don't even give them a chance to go low. That is Nicole Waddington, and you are on the Facebooks, and you have a large followership, because let's be realistic, when you have 4,099 people on your friends list, that's followers like that, and then 550 followers.
Well, I mean, let's just say I have 4,099 people that are friends with me, but how many of those people are interacting? Let's be serious.
Yeah. And so for the people, anybody listening to this podcast on any of the platforms, or checking out the video from WineCellarMedia.com or Patreon.com, you can go to Facebook, look up Nicole Waddington, click follow, all right? And don't be a creep, don't be a weirdo, all right? Stay out of her messages, just follow the content and learn something. All right, thank you for coming on the program, and we'll have to do it again sooner.
Thank you for inviting me.
Right on. All right, goodbye, ma'am.
All right.
Right, peace. And then it looks like there's a 407 number on the line. What is that? I'm trying to close the program, but I'm going to open up that line. 407? Someone was tuned in from 407?
Hello there. I was just listening to your guest. You had a nice guest on there.
Oh yes, yes. She was dope. Yeah, I'm gonna get her again. All right. Did you just stumble onto this program, or have you heard it before already?
No, it's the first time I've heard it.
Yeah, we well we. Yeah, what up?
Y'all write HopTech Alliance, the Black Podcast. Is that what you're? You're going by all the time, the Black Podcast?
No, the original name, I started the program 4 years ago, and the original name was Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, and I only changed it to the Black Podcast just earlier this year, so that is a new name, and the title of this episode is the Alt-Right Hotep Alliance, and I don't know if you tuned in time for that segment, but if you go back and... after the archive is posted, you can hear that segment.
Well, that's pretty cool, Alliance. It's a little different. I caught the last 15 minutes, maybe 10 minutes of her, you know. But she sounded really, that was a great guest you had there, you know. It's just like, and, you know, we got to keep going, man, because our freedoms and our liberties are slipping away to the brother police state. And we don't want to fall into that. I mean, we're not falling into that. I mean, they keep going more and more. The prison industrial complex keeps growing and growing.
You darn right. All right, brother. Thanks for calling in. I'm going to go ahead and wrap this one up. And if you have iTunes or Stitcher Radio or anything, you can subscribe to the Black Podcast. All right, have a good one there.
All right, man. Thanks.
Peace. Bye. All right. I don't know. don't know what the...
Thank you for using Talk Radio. Goodbye.
You never know where... You never know what's going to happen in the wine cellar. You never know what's going to happen. You know what? I'm going to... The audio for the podcast is still recording, so I'm going to go ahead and play that a couple of those Alex Jones clips. All right? So the show goes on. You motherfuckers thought it was over. You thought, oh, okay, and we're at an hour and 4 minutes. All right, let's see. So, we played the one with the,
Jamie on Akbar with her breast hanging out.
Okay, that's another one I got to add to my deal. So Alex Jones is going to tell you
women
about...
Women are the property.
Alex Jones is going to tell you about feminism. All right, and you will learn. All right? You will not learn. Oh, and the people on Facebook Live are still there. Okay, Facebook Live. Yeah, we're still on. We're going to play with some Alex Jones, okay? So Alex Jones, he's going to tell you. You going to get Jones-splained on some feminism.
Women are the property of their husbands in Saudi Arabia.
Right? Women are the property of their husbands in Saudi Arabia. This is a fact-based fact.
And they treat them like dogs.
Yeah, and you know what? There is, you know, there's misogyny and there's hardcore, you know, patriarchy in Islam. But none among white Christians. Not a gosh darn. But let's see.
Worse than dogs.
Worse than dogs.
And so, again, the weirdo, crazy feminists run around worshiping them. And then, like, actually, a lot of liberal women I know actually go out and marry some Islamicist that will boss them around and slap them.
All right, so this something that you may not have known about feminists is that they kind of worship Islamic men, and they date them, too. He's going to tell you about how what it's like when they date them.
A lot of liberal women I know actually go out and marry some Islamicist that will boss them around and slap them upside the head.
All right. So that's something. Now, first off, Alex Jones knows a lot of liberal women. But let's just knock that fact out right there. That is something that is true about him. He knows a lot of liberal women, and they go out and marry some Islamicist that'll slap him upside the head. You keep going, Jones.
I guess because they're so pissed that, you know, Western men won't treat them bad.
All right, so I don't know if you knew this, but Western man in this here culture, Western Europe and McMurka, don't no woman get slapped by no man, not never. There is no such thing as domestic violence. It's just not real in this world, according to what Alex Jones is saying right now.
That's why they deregulated it in Russia.
Phoenix is over there talking nowhere near the microphone. That's what she does. Because she is sick again. She is not well. And, all right, so that's going on, right? And because, you know, the liberal women, they want to get smacked around, so they go get an Islamicist.
Marry some Islamicist that'll boss them around and slap them upside the head. I guess because they're so pissed that, you know, Western men won't...
Did he clap his hands to make a slapping sound in the background? You motherfuckers heard that? Listen to that.
They're so pissed that...
They're so pissed that... Okay. All right, Jones.
You know, Western men won't treat them bad.
Okay.
Canadian terrorists shout, Allah Akbar. Can we cue the phone up when we come back? Jamming on Akbar with her breast hanging out.
All right, so apparently there are feminists chanting Allah Akbar with their breast hanging out. That is a thing that is true.
Try that in Saudi Arabia, sweetheart.
Try that.
I love how the feminists always say it's not about objectification. And you go to one of their rallies, it's like triple X, man. Women, they're naked, hanging out, screaming, yelling.
You know, because that's what it was like. I mean, there was the Women's March, and it was triple X, man. All right? Triple X. The Women's March, like, those weren't P-word hats that they had on their heads. Why can't I say that word? I'm a fucking adult. I can say the word virginder. Pussy. Okay, I said it. Ugh. I don't like that word.
Women, they're naked, hanging out, screaming, yelling, screaming, you know, the name of their genitals. And it's like, okay.
All right, so that was going on at the Women's March. They were screaming, yelling, their breasts hanging out, Allahu Akbar, screaming the name of their genitals. That was all happening.
Name of their genitals. And it's like, okay, whatever. You know, like, we're liberal, aren't we shocking? And it's like, No, you just never, I guess, had a good experience in your life. So you, people usually show off their sexuality in public, don't really have a lot of it. Is my...
Okay, so apparently people who show their sexuality in public don't have a lot of it. You know, people that perform in pornography films are not having sex in pornography films. Here we go.
A lot of it is my personal experience.
Somehow that's his personal experience. Notice how he just doesn't even care what word he puts in what sentence. How is your perception of someone else not having sex your personal experience? All right, keep going.
That was very nice.
Now, mild-mannered folks is what you got to look out for, but I mean,
y'all heard that very nice in the background, because when I was making this clip, Phoenix just be walking in, interrupting my show prep.
Folks, is what you got to look out for, but I mean, it really is just a bunch of experience.
Hold up, listen to Phoenix.
That was very nice.
Now,
that was very nice.
Now. Now, mild-mannered folks is what you got to look out for. But, I mean, it really is just a bunch of arrested development idiots that like, are looking for somebody to set them straight. So they're just like, oh, Akbar, I loved you, huh? Screw you, America.
Okay, I don't know if you knew that, but that, like the homie Becker Loco, that's what she says all the time.
Oh, Akbar, I loved you, huh? Screw you, America. So they're just like, oh, Akbar, I loved you, huh? Screw you, America. Like, oh, Akbar, I loved you, huh? Screw you, America.
Okay.
Well, go over there, you dumbasses. I mean, that brings a new meaning to love it or leave it. Merle Haggard, the fight inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
Because, hey, I don't mind you switching sides, standing up for stuff you believe in, but you want to sit here and have our milk and honey, but then try to overthrow it? I have a free speech right to say you're a dirty scumbag.
All right, he has a free speech right to say you're a dirty scumbag. Now, Alex Jones has more to say about his fellow white individuals. All right, he has a few critiques. Very well thought out, very nuanced critiques. I see a fourth comment in the comments section. I think I'm missing one. I think I'm not seeing it. I don't know why. I think someone commented and I'm not seeing your comment on the Facebook Live there. Shout out to the homie Anna Loco, posted up in the joint always. All right, so Alex Jones.
And they've created a giant army of mentally ill cultists.
All right. Somehow. Because somehow you can create mental illness. That's Alex Jones' take on ableism. Is that you mass manufacture it, which of course, you know, that is kind of the gist of the anti-vaxxers. All right, here we go. Ew. What the fuck is happening to me? Audio. Oh no, my audio done gone away. What in the hell? I am displeased with that. Okay, now I gotta bring the whole gosh darn thing back up. Because I will listen to Alex Jones critique these folks. Oop-a-doo. Here we go.
And they've created a giant army of mentally ill cultists.
All right.
Who want race war in this country. They're up.
All right, because you know how it's, because you know, and he's talking about the liberals. You know how the liberals want race war in this country. They're always pushing for that. What the hell? Is this a corrupted file? What is wrong with this thing?
And they've created a giant army of mentally ill cultists who want race war in this country. They're a bunch of mentally ill, twisted, ne'er-do-well white people.
All right, mentally ill, twisted, ne'er-do-well white people. He's like a fucking rapper, the way he freestyles this shit.
Ill, twisted, ne'er-do-well white people. They're a bunch of mentally ill, twisted, ne'er-do-well white people. They're a bunch of mentally ill, twisted, ne'er-do-well white people trying to bully and whip mainly black folks.
All right, that's something that's going on, you know, with no safe word. All right, all right, here we go. Oh man, what's your safe word? Chris Hayes, here we go.
And Hispanics into
All right, so they're whipping black people and Hispanics.
And whip mainly black folks and Hispanics into hating white people. I mean, the...
Ah, that's what it is. Because white people want to trick black people and Hispanics via a whipping into hating white people. He makes so much money to say this shit. What? I need to do a whole episode where I try to be my version of Alex Jones. Fuck. Damn it. All right. WineCellarMedia.com. All right. Now, according to these government white papers, Donald Trump... Shit, I can't do it. I can't say shit that ridiculous. I can be hyperbolic. I can't do it. I can be somewhat hyperbolic, but I can't reach that level of bugged out. All right, here we go. He continues. Oof, let's give it a running start.
Folks and Hispanics into hating white people. I mean, the everyone up there campaigning to be DNC chair are making the most racist statements about how we don't need white people at the top of the Democratic Party, or, well, I'm white, elect me because I'll keep the whites in line and make sure they don't get privilege. I'll shut them up and make sure you get privilege. That is the quote. That is the
That's actually not the quote, because I've heard the video clip that he's talking about, and the video clip he's talking about is just kind of general social justice talk, really. Like, she's just basically saying, you know, like, we, she was saying something like, when a white person tries to talk over a black person, we're gonna shut that down. That's what she said. So, yeah, and I didn't even quote her verbatim, but I was a lot closer than what the fuck he just said.
I'll shut them up and make sure you get privilege. That is the quote. That is the definition of racketeering.
Of racketeering? Hold on. Let's Google racketeering. Because I don't know much about it. I just kind of associate it with old gangster guys. Racketeering. Let's... that is the definition. Okay, right here at the top. Legal Dictionary. All right. So, racketeering, traditionally obtaining or extorting money illegally or carrying on illegal business activities, usually by organized crime, a pattern of illegal activity carried out as part of an enterprise that is owned or controlled by those who are engaged in the illegal activity. The latter definition derives from the federal racketeer influenced and Influenced and Corruption Organizations Act, RICO, a set of laws specifically designed to punish racketeering by business enterprises. Racketeering, as it is commonly understood, has always coexisted with business. In the United States, the term racketeer was synonymous with numbers or organized crime operations. Now let's go back to what Alex Jones says is racketeering.
Like me, because I'll keep the whites in line and make sure they don't get privilege. I'll shut them up and make sure you get privilege. That is the quote. That is the definition of racketeering.
All right. That is the definition. I keep looking over at Phoenix like she's on this episode, but she's right over there, so it's like I have an audience in-house. All right, that is the definition.
DNC chair candidate bash white people in racially charged forum. My job is to shut other white people down, and she goes on to make sure you get the privilege. That is the essence of racketeering.
The essence of racketeering. You know what? I didn't want to play this one because it doesn't really go anywhere, but we're at the end of this episode and I'm kind of in my fuck around mode, so let's fuck around a little bit.
Oprah Winfrey makes me sick.
All right. I don't know if you knew that about Alex Jones. Oprah Winfrey makes him sick. Ill.
Oprah Winfrey makes me sick. Oprah Winfrey, because I know all about her.
He knows all about her. He is an Oprah Winfrey. He is a Oprah Winficionado.
Is bad news.
Oh, okay. Bad news. Now he's talking like fucking Donald Trump. Is she a bad hombre?
She's a super manipulator.
Oh no, she's a super manipulator.
She is the richest person in entertainment history, which is fine with me.
Okay.
But she's been engaged in class warfare all along.
Ah, so she's rich and engaging in class warfare. I'd like to hear the breakdown on that, Mr. Jones.
And she funds
yeah.
to the United Nations
uh-huh.
a massive tax-exempt foundation.
Okay.
That's tied into Bill and Melinda Gates uh-huh. and population control.
Ah, okay. Oprah, oh, did you know Oprah Winfrey's a population controller?
She handed out condoms.
They handed out condoms. Okay, Phoenix Kalita just told me what he's talking about. So yeah, there he is playing into the forced birther crowd, saying that handing out condoms is population control and fuck concerns for STDs and shit like that. I mean, it's population control.
One world religion.
Ah, one world religion. That's because, you know, that's not what Christian dominionists want.
One world religion and convincing Africans to basically roll over and die.
A lot of you may not have known that about Oprah Winfrey, but she is all about convincing Africans to roll over and die.
Africans to basically roll over and die. Africans to basically roll over and die. Over and die. Over and die. She is a New World Order Illuminist of the worst sickening order.
What the fuck? Wait. I'm telling you, like, he just freestyles this shit. New World Order Illuminist of the worst sickening order.
Is a New World Order Illuminist of the worst sickening order.
Uh-huh.
And she's been caught in secret meetings.
If they're secret, what? All right, she got caught in secret meetings. And somehow you know about this because you got the video, the picture, the sign on the door said, "This is a secret meeting."
He's been caught in secret meetings.
Yeah.
With Warren Buffett and
yeah.
Dr. Evil himself. Bill Gates.
Okay, Bill Gates is Dr. Evil himself. Keep going. This is what he can do with 57 seconds. Consider that he has a 4-hour program 5 days a week and a 2-hour program on Sunday. And this is what he does with 57 seconds.
And, you know, I mentioned this morning to some of the crew that she's now getting a 60-minute slot. And I said, you know, she's been in secret world government population control meetings. And they're like, really? And I said, yeah, go look it up. And they pulled up a whole bunch of mainstream news.
You know how there's secrets that are on mainstream news? All right. Secrets on mainstream news. Go for it.
From the last decade.
Yeah.
But again, before that was ever even in the news, I was told about Winfrey and her activity. She is uber bad.
Oh, he was told. And then, you know, and that means what? He said it goes back over a decade. So, you know, back before like 2006, you know, before the second Game album, he was told about Oprah. Don't worry about who the fuck told him. Don't worry about if there's evidence of him being told this. He was told about Oprah.
And the people think that Obama was the blackface.
That's why I grabbed this clip, because I thought that part was just funny as all hell to hear him say those words right there.
Blackface. To sell face was the blackface. People think that Obama was the blackface. Obama was the blackface. Obama was the blackface.
I need to put that in the soundboard by itself. Obama was the blackface. Whew.
To sell death to Africa.
Ah, so you see, you know how you thought Obama was the blackface to sell death to Africa? It was Oprah Winfrey.
No, he was just the delivery man.
Ah.
The Black Widow, pun not intended.
Obama the Black Widow, pun not intended. Whew.
Someone that destroys her own culture, her own people, a woman that is a vicious predator, is called a Black Widow. and she is a Black Widow.
All right. And that's your main man, Alex Jonesy Jones. Don't forget to check out WineCellarMedia.com. Motherfuckers, I need to go over here and click this.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
All right, Father Muckers. All right, so thanks for tuning in for this one. Remember, we had Nicole Waddington on. Nicole Waddington, who was dope. Like, I hope to, when I have the first Allied Left conference, I gotta see if I can get Nicole Waddington on. And she said she works as a freelancer, so she was basically like, nigga, I got time all the time, nigga. That's the way she talks. She calls me that all the time. She all in my inbox. What up, nigga? You know, that's her style, though. She's a gangster like that. Nicole Waddington, WineCellarMedia.com. And don't forget, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. All right? And don't forget, if you go on the iTunes, all right? Even if you don't access the program through iTunes, go there, drop that 5-star review. All right? Drop that 5-star review. All right, and check out the page Social Dissonance, A Critical Analysis of Justice. All right, the homie Penny Loco is doing a kick-arse job over there. You know who Penny Loco is.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
All right, and she puts it down. So thank goodness we got Nicole Waddington on today. The homie Shauna Loco said she'll be available Friday. Tomorrow, I tried to contact Lola Phoenix. Today, I couldn't get through to Lola Phoenix. I'll try to get Lola Phoenix tomorrow. And if not, I'll try to get Madison Page. I bother Madison Page a lot. I try not to bug her too much. But I'm going to try to get Madison Page or Lola Phoenix tomorrow. And maybe try to fill up this week with guests. Hell, try to get more guests. And then, if we get more guests, and if Lisa Loco's schedule fixes up so she can co-host again, and Phoenix as well, and she can host, and if the homie Loco, the white Antifa nigga, Catherine, if Catherine Loco, right, if she can come on and guest, then, you know, you got enough guests and hosts, and I can produce, and you don't have to listen to my shit anymore, because I know you can't stand it, all right? I know you. I know how you are, goddamn son of a shit.
He's got the biggest, juiciest fruits I've ever seen.